So let me share with you first what we're going to be doing right now. And you notice we have a lot of folks up front. I am going to be passing the microphone quickly and getting a quick summary from different folks up here of what our goal is in terms of what kind of changes we're looking for. Let me just give you an extremely brief reminder of where we've been as far as our remodeling. We've been talking about renovating and remodeling our main building for years, probably all the time I've been coming to Prairie, and that's a very long time. We've been talking about changes we'd like to make to our building. We got very serious in 2011 and worked with an architect to talk about possible revisions. Actually had some preliminary plans and ideas, but what happened was at that time, our building next door became available, and our plans for remodeling this structure pretty much came to an abrupt halt while we concentrated on, do we want to purchase the building next door? What do we want to do with that building? And we threw our energy into that project. And those of you who've spent any time next door know that that's been a very big success. We had, I personally was at a service auction item at the annex just last night, and it is in use very continuously. So that project, great success. Now it's time to bring us back around. The board empowered a group of us, led by my husband Martin Arnold and myself, which we called the Remodeling Planning Group, to meet with the architect and with each other, gather input from people in different committees, the housing and property, the hospitality and membership, the program committee, to look at, okay, what is it we really need to make our building more beautiful, more usable, more accessible, safer. And we came up with a list of recommendations that we presented at the retreat last May and then again in September. Then had a brief parish meeting where we asked for money to continue to work with the architect, went back to the board. What we're doing now is we have decided that instead of getting very specific drawings from an architect and then putting it out for bids and going through all that process, we flipped that and decided what we would do is tell you this is what we want to do and then see if we can raise the money to do it. And then we'll get very specific plans, then we'll put that out for a vote. So that's the process we're following. We are basing the numbers that we're going to be asking for on a very rough estimate that was provided to us during this process by Bayer Rather Construction. So we'll get to the numbers in a minute. What I'm going to do now is pass the microphone, and we're going to just quickly summarize what the goals are. So I think, were you planning to start, Gary? You've got the microphone in hand.
Have me the mic.
Okay.
Do you have an order you want us to go in?
So actually, let me start with John, who is going to talk to us about the goals for this meeting room.
Hi. I actually came to Prairie over 20 years ago one time when we were exploring churches when we lived in Mineral Point and had just heard about Unitarian Universalism, and the closest church from Mineral Point was Madison. And we had Prairie and First basically as the two that we were exploring. And I came and visited the church, and to be honest, and I know in deference to a lot of people like the historic nature of this space, but when I came into this room, it was very off-putting for me personally, and it was a significant reason why we ended up going to First Unitarian for the first 15 years of our Unitarian experience.
So,
could you explain why?
Not now. Well, later.
We'll get there. Okay. It just briefly, in terms of what we want to do to this room, we're going to take out the wood and make it bright. That's like the top thing. And remove the stage so that we can actually have an accessible space up here for people who can't do stairs. And so we can enlarge the room and remove this office so that we actually have a much bigger area to work in. So next, Al. Asbestos.
We know we have asbestos. It was taken out downstairs. And I'm going to spell out a four-letter word here remind you as to what it is when we're done. Let's start with friable. The floor is okay, but the ceiling is friable, meaning it can get into the air if it's disturbed. Second word to give is remove, which I think is self-explanatory. The next letter is O, other. Or encapsulate. But the or also stands for lead into the next word, and that's mesothelioma. If we don't take it out, that's one of the consequences of having asbestos in the air. So remember the word from. We want to try and keep it. Now, moving to another topic, I don't know whether a lot of you know that I was a speech and hearing major as an undergraduate that evolved into information technology. But one of my goals, and I'll show it in a moment here, is to get a sign in the building that is this logo for a T-coil. Turn your hearing aid on and attach it to T-coil. And Tom is going to talk more about that.
What we're talking about is putting a loop system into the main congregational area, and that consists of a microphone, whether it be here at the podium or passed around, that goes through a loop cable around the perimeter, and that loop cable will it has a magnetic field that will go to your induction system, either in your hearing aids or your cochlear implants, and it will suppress background noise so that you hear the person who is speaking, and not background noise is a big issue for people with hearing difficulties. And so it suppresses the background noise. It will feed the person talking right into your ear. And we're pushing for that. And we'd like to see, I'm pushing for that, would like to see that. See if there's anything else I want to add. It is an inconspicuous thing. It just, if you have your hearing aids or your cochlear set to automatically go into that mode when you walk into the room, it will do that. It will just kick them right on. You don't have to push any buttons or anything. Thank you.
Yep. Okay, that's the hearing. Now's the vision.
Since the screen fell off the ceiling and the asbestos issue, we did get a nice replacement screen after we broke the backup. But the only thing is, it just doesn't go up instantly. And also, I mean, like if the choir is on the stage, it's in their way. And we can't see the accompanist when it's up. And just for instance, how unfriendly it is. Normally, I come, if I know somebody's going to be using it, I come the Saturday before. That's another trip for me, trekking across town to set up the screen and the projector. But a couple of Sundays ago is a perfect example when we had the lady come talk about the origins. That would have been a talk that would have been really hard to follow without her stuff. And she came, and because she was a backup person and she didn't get my original request about her needs, she didn't let me know ahead of time. So she walked in at 9:30, and I grabbed Susan out of the audience, and I said, help me with this screen. I got the projector out, and I told the the presenter to set up her projector herself. Whereas if she were going into any normal lecture hall in an up-to-date place, she would have just plugged her laptop in and pressed a button, the screen would bend onto the ceiling. No biggie. But as it was just a really hectic morning. And it wound up, too, that because a lot of lecturers these days are using their laptops to talk instead of printing out their speech. Well, she hadn't printed out her speech. So happens we have a long cable, but it's not quite long enough to reach the lectern. So she had to wind up standing down here like I am and using one of these to put her laptop on so she could do her speech. So we really need, because if we have outside speakers who expect the modern conveniences, we need them.
I'm going to talk real.
Well, if you're here, you don't need this.
We'll see. briefly about air conditioning and ventilation. So why do we need air conditioning in this room? It's because hot, sticky, uncomfortable conditions on Sunday mornings used to be rare, or uncommon at least, but in recent times they've been much more common, and it's going to get worse. So I think it's fairly simple.
It's a vicious cycle. Yeah.
Yes, well, we have a lot of people, it's like cows in the barn, you know. It might start out fine at 10 a.m., but by 11:30, it can get pretty nasty in here. So I think it's fairly no-brainer, but that's my opinion. Ventilation, that's basically fresh air in, stale air out. Why do we need to improve the ventilation? Because basically it's non-existent for this room. Only thing you can do is open the windows, which doesn't work well when it's 10 below. Basically, we don't come close to meeting code. You're supposed to have 20 cubic feet per minute per person. So if there's 50 people in the room, that's 1,000 cubic feet per minute. We just don't have anything. So I've been looking at the carbon dioxide levels in this room, which is an index of what the ventilation is, because people put out carbon dioxide as they breathe. Outside air is currently 400. Obviously, we're heading through the roof with that. But inside, typically, it's about 800 parts per million, which is acceptable. And so when we come in the morning, we're at 800. By the time we leave, we're over 3,000 here. 1,000 is considered an acceptable level. So basically, it's making us sleepy and mentally impaired. And we should be alert and engaged in, you know, an intellectual discussion at the end of the program. That's the time when we're ready to nod off and can't think straight. So if this isn't making any sense to you, I'm blaming it on the air.
I'm not here this morning. Last night, Barb Chatterton asked me to be her, so I'm Barb Chatterton. She asked that because I always help with, almost always I help with the cleanup from Soup Sundays and other activities, working for 1-2 hours after the service to get things washed up and put away. And the main problem is that we do not have an adequate dishwasher. You fill the dishwasher, turn it on, and then start washing dishes by hand. It takes forever to get it done. And that's the main thing that I've heard people complain about the kitchen. And so I will end with that there are always some people willing to do it, but there always seem to be sort of the same people. Yeah. Help us out.
Okay. And
Jesse. Hi, my name is Jesse, and my pronouns are they, them, theirs. And I'm here to talk to you about gender-neutral bathroom for Prairie and how we need one. It's often uncomfortable for trans people, like me, to have to choose between a men's and a women's bathroom. Both options misgender me, and that's not fun. When I go somewhere and there is a gender-neutral bathroom, it makes me feel a lot safer and more welcome in that space. Also, some people need assistance going to the bathroom. And sometimes their assistant is not the same gender as they are. And deciding which bathroom to go in is uncomfortable. Both options are uncomfortable if that's your situation. And that's not fair for us to put people in that situation. We always say that we're a welcoming congregation. Saying it is not enough.
My name's Karen, and I'm here on behalf of the Religious Education Program to tell you about the four improvements that we request. First, the downstairs bathroom is tiny and ugly, and there's chronic staining from condensation or leaking on one wall, so some children are even frightened to go in there. It's kind of reddish-brown, rust-colored, but it, you know, looks icky. So we want a more attractive bathroom. And it is very important for the bathroom to be fully accessible so that we can welcome people who use wheelchairs to participate downstairs. Two, the accordion wall does not block sound, so we would like a regular wall dividing the main space with large double doors to open up for events like Nifty Gifty. Three, a child height sink and water fountain would let our little people be much more independent in our space, less climbing up on stools, and help from adults. And fourth, a second electrical outlet in each room would be safer and more convenient because we'd be running fewer extension cords all over the place, maybe even three outlets in the makerspace. If we do all these four improvements, our space can be as welcoming and effective as our programming.
I'm going to briefly summarize the changes we want to make, and I'm going to include a couple things that didn't get mentioned because Heidi couldn't be here today on behalf of talking about the foyer. So let me just summarize what our plan is for what we want to do. First, the meeting hall. We want to remove the stage, remove this office, and instead have movable risers as needed for height for those people that need to be high enough so that we can be seen. But then have somebody who has a walker, like Mike, be able to play the piano without having to navigate the stairs. We'd have more room so we can fit more people, so we'll be more welcoming for people who are visiting. We want to get rid of asbestos in our ceiling, and that
and
will,
floor.
Which is the entire ceiling.
Hmm? And floor.
And floor for safety, and that will allow us to then work with our ceiling to put in what we want to put in, like a projector, for example. We want to remodel update the way this room looks to make it feel brighter and more beautiful. We want to feel better when we're in here, and that's going to require ventilation and air conditioning, and that's also safety issues for some people. We want a sound system that, for those of us of which I have joined the ranks, who have hearing aids, and there'll be more of that as we age as a congregation, can actually hear better. In other words, we want to be welcoming in all of the different ways that we, as Jesse said, say that we are. We need to remodel our kitchen to include the capacity to do dishes so we don't have to throw out dishes and so we don't have to keep many people spending hours after service cleaning. The parts that we didn't yet mention, we want to remove the double doors that, if any of you have walked through them, know that there's problems in that area. In terms of having an area where we can walk freely between the rooms, have the doors hinged the other way. And then a piece that we have not mentioned is enlarging our foyer. What we've been calling it is a bay or a bump out, where we push several feet to that direction so that we have space enough to actually socialize in our foyer. And also to create a new accessible non-gendered bathroom. We talked, actually Karen did a beautiful job talking about what we need to do downstairs. Let me describe what we're gonna do next. As I mentioned, we worked with Bauer Rather Construction to get a very rough estimate of what these changes will cost. And we were authorized by the board to start a fund drive, which I hope we can complete within the next 3 weeks, where everyone here and all the people who are not here who are our members will be getting a phone call to ask you to pledge towards this capital campaign. Think hard about what you feel this congregation needs, what purpose this building serves for our own members and for members going forward, what it is we want to be able to offer our community, and what role you can play in that financially. We can't be subtracting from our yearly pledge towards operations. We don't want what you pledge towards this capital campaign to cause us to have trouble paying our staff and paying our monthly bills. But think hard about what you can do to support this project. I think we've been waiting a while, and there are so many things that are needed, and I think would go a long way towards making us much more appealing to our community, give us more to offer our community. We haven't talked directly about growth, but I feel like that's a piece of what we're asking for here. So, do you have your board that we made up? We have set an ambitious goal of $275,000 to get all of this accomplished. And we think we can do it. We have created a thermometer, the kind of standard fundraising. And Al, I think we're gonna need your seat to put that on.
For sitting, so I think we should.
Yeah. Okay. So, do you want to explain what this is going to look like when it's done?
Where did that steeple come from?
We're not implying that this is the way Prairie will look.
It was just an entertaining way to.
Can you bring it out? We can't see. Those was in the back. Well,
oops, I'm sorry.
You
can move it up.
It's just a fancy, you know, thermometer like you might see from United Way or something. But we didn't put a cross or anything on this.
Yeah, there you go.
We did put a chalice in the window here to indicate that we are Unitarian. But the concept here is that as we get pledges, we'll start on this side. On this side, and then we'll work our way up to the top. And we're not sure if we're going to just make the whole thing green, but we'll figure that out. But and it's just a symbol to give a sense of the progress.
And when we reach our goal, we're going to light the chalice. That's the plan. Okay, I have just a couple more comments, and then we'll open it up. So we are only asking for pledges right now, not money, because we are going to see what we can do as a congregation. Our expectation is that in the next 3 weeks, we're going to generate pledges of, you know, we'll see what we can do. Then we're going to go to our architect and say, all right, this is what we can do. Let's get more detailed in our plan, look at contractors, then come back to the congregation at the spring parish meeting. And
which
ask,
is that?
Do we have a date yet?
We haven't
seen third
any.
Sunday in May, whatever.
Yeah, we're going to have it on.
Yeah, but I haven't seen any publicity.
20th, then, I think.
Not yet. 20th.
Yeah, I mean, it's still March, so we're a little early. But the 20th of May is your recollection?
May.
So late May. And, okay, well, I'll see if our board can put out some publicity.
For you,
thank you.
The newsletter deadline is today. Yep, 25th, that's the deadline for the newsletter.
And we will be putting an article about this in the Prairie Fire for April. So at the parish meeting, the spring parish meeting, we'll be able to bring a more detailed plan to you for a vote to move forward. Once we do that, then of course we'll start needing to gather our pledges in, you know, then we'll be looking for money. So when you're thinking about your timing, the way I'm thinking of it is by fall. Presuming everything goes forward, we're hoping that by fall we can start actually asking you for money to support the project. Right now we're asking for a pledge. So, anything else any of you guys wants to say up here before I open to the audience? Okay, who would like to run the mic? Anybody? Thank you, Jesse. Okay. And I think Eileen was first. And then I'll keep, if you'd stay, then I can offer you a microphone if that's
so needed. We have about 30 people here today, mm-hmm. and we have 100 members. Mm-hmm. Will you, in the newsletter, be detailing, mm-hmm. you know, I think the descriptions each group gave would be very helpful for everybody to see and then hopefully read.
If you folks, you've already sent me your blurb. If you folks could send a, you know, short paragraph, I can include those in the newsletter. That'd be great.
That means today.
Correct. Like today would be great. Some of you already have. And just what you've, just something on what you've said would be great.
I have a question for Al. You had mentioned the oxygen in the room, and is that included in your plan?
Yeah,
that was me.
Oh, I was on for a while.
Yeah.
So Rick tells me that you did talk about it.
Yeah.
Yes.
We need to
get fresh air into this room somehow, and whether that's going to involve a ducted system that includes heat and air conditioning, or maintaining radiators and somehow creating ventilation with fewer ducts, we'll have to talk to a HVAC person to look at this room and figure out the most effective solution.
That's going to be all the whole building then.
We can decide if we want to do something about air conditioning the basement, whether that's necessary. I don't spend enough time down there to know.
I do, and it's not. It
not.
Doesn't get hot and steamy
nice
down there.
Nice and cool down there.
People
yeah.
like to be there. Sorry.
It's humid down there.
I have a question in that regard. If we don't do something down in the basement, what is the CO2 level going to be like down there?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I still think that the whole building
needs to be ventilated.
Needs to has a fresh air requirement mm-hmm. by the state
yep.
right.
and everything else.
Right. It depends. In theory, we could have mini split air conditioning, which I don't know if you people are familiar with. It's usually high up on the wall near the ceiling. And you don't have a lot of duct work, but that won't provide fresh air. So we could air condition and supply the fresh air to the building through a separate source, or we could just have one unit, which I think Tom's in favor of, that would air condition heat and provide fresh air.
So that level of detail is undetermined. So when we came up with our number for what we're asking for fundraising, it actually will help us determine some of the details when we know how much we can raise, because then we'll be able to budget. All right, what can we do for this amount of money? Go ahead.
For anybody who's been here less than 28 years, which is probably a few of you, we last remodeled this building the only time we've really done a major remodel was in 1988, when we dealt with what had been a really ridiculous situation with stairs coming in and out of the meeting hall and things like that, and also added the bathrooms, you know. But brought the kitchen upstairs. That was 2 years before the Americans with Disabilities Act was passed. Our bathrooms have never been legal in terms of accessibility. And I think that after, 30 years, it's time to bring some stuff up
yes.
up to its code. And then I was unaware of the carbon monoxide issue. So I think that's pretty important, too.
So, yes, it's carbon dioxide.
Dioxide, not monoxide.
Yeah, you don't want to have too much carbon dioxide. This
is just a logistical question. And you may not know the answer to it, but once you start asking for money in the, say, in the fall, or, you know, actual money after the pledges, mm-hmm. will there be a payment, you know, like X number of months for people like me who can't come up with a lump sum at one time?
Absolutely. When you're asking for money, you have to be flexible.
Yeah. Well, I figured you were.
We will find a way.
Yeah.
I guess that was my question was, you know, what's the intent? Is it the intent to have the whole $275,000 by the end of the year, or is there a plan to take out a loan, or?
So again, this kind of depends on what we can do. So we're going to do as best as we can to raise in pledges as close as we can get to the entire amount. Prairie does have some money in the bank, and we may go to the board and ask for part of that to be used for this purpose. But it sure is nice to have that in the bank. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what we can do. We're hoping to avoid a mortgage because every year getting the annual budget is always a challenge. And if we can avoid a mortgage, we don't have to increase our annual budget. You know, so that's...
Well, but like if you have pledges that are going to, you know, carry out, you know, like somebody says, well, I can give you this much money, but I can't give it all to you this mm-hmm. year. You know.
Yeah, for things like that, we may very well be able to, you know, use our money in the bank to carry us while we're waiting to collect the pledges from the file. Like if you split your pledge among a couple of years, you know, I don't think that should be a problem.
I was wondering, I know this is a big expense, but is there any chance of incorporating some solar panels on the roof while we're doing things about air exchange and so forth? Could we put solar panels on the roof to save money for?
So let me answer that simply to say I will happily raise that issue with our architect. We'll put it on the list of can we at least evaluate this issue? But it's not something we've actively considered.
Could you repeat what Mechie said? Because I couldn't.
I'm so sorry. She asked about solar panels.
Just to answer that question. Being one of the historians of the group right now, back when the Green Sanctuary certification was being worked on, Al said that they had in his part of that committee work. He said they considered that at that time and found it was too expensive. I don't know if that would be true now, but yeah. that's what's in the history of this.
So that may have changed. We'll raise it.
Got a lot of trees.
Patty, did you want to make a statement about forms that you brought?
Oh, sure. So the timeline, I volunteered to help with the fundraising. And but I'm glad I'm not the leader, but I'm really willing to help. And so it'd be nice if there were some other folks willing to help as well. And so just let Rachel know or me know, I guess. Mm-hmm. The last time that we did fundraising for the annex, Mary and I worked on that and had others that helped us do it. And so we did a little training with that group and we had a script. So, you know, it's not the easiest thing to go and ask somebody for money, but if you're a little bit more prepared for it, it makes it a little easier. And we do really have a pretty lofty goal. So, but I did bring pledge forms with me today. You can, I can pass them out.
Just carry them with you wherever you go.
I go, yeah, that's right, yeah. But they're all modified for this project. So, so I don't know if you want to help out with the fundraising. The timeline is a kind of a fast one. But what we did the last time was divide up the membership so that it wasn't a totally daunting experience to, like, you know, make 100 calls yourself.
Yeah, yeah, but can I just add a comment? When we bought this building and we were
can you use the microphone, please?
peeve. So when we bought this building, we never thought we would raise enough money, and dear Dick Bonser was vice president at that time, and I guess I was president. And Dick took on the fundraising, though. And I think it was within 2 weeks that we got commitments enough, plus a loan from First Society and a loan from the Veatch funds out of Long Island. And we did it. It was pretty scary.
So one other comment that Al brought up is that those people who feel that, you know, coming up with a big chunk of money like this fall is just, that's just not realistic, that we really should offer that if it takes you 3 years and you want to divide this in three pieces, if that's what works for you, say so. You know, that's not a problem. We like I said a minute ago, we will be flexible. We're the askers, you know, so we are willing to be flexible. Okay, so those of you who feel like you are willing and able to participate in actually making phone calls and doing some direct fundraising, please talk to either Patty or I at like now or within it, you know, as soon as possible, so we can talk through how we're going to do this and do a little bit of role playing. Patty has done this before and is very knowledgeable about this. I want to thank the people who have participated. These folks really thought hard. Those who are on our committee have met many hours. Please thank them. And then please come up to Patty and grab a sheet of paper and think about what you'd like to do.
And sign Christina.
Sign a form. Okay, thank you. That closes us for the day.